wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Man's first duty. My message is of the utmost importance to one and all. None are exempt. Its appeal and import should revolutionize the thoughts, the standards, and the lives of each one, whether Catholic or Protestant, whether Hebrew or Gentile. My subject is man's first duty. What is it? No matter who he is or where he lives, every man, and that means you and me. In the day of judgment, God, the living God, will bring every one of us before him, and your case and mine will be judged in the light of this, our first duty. What is it? The first duty of man is to glorify God. Neighbor, what do you know about it? And what have you done about it? Your life tells on you, and his story is not good. Your conscience makes you smart under God's righteous requirement. You find no solace in your vain excuses. You review the years of your life as you muse. My first duty is to glorify God. You try to find it in your life, but your search is vain. You see days and nights crowded with selfish pursuits, vain ambitions, and covetous purposes. In your desperate search, you jump at a straw and say, I don't drink liquor or even smoke, and I am no immoral person, and I'm no thief in prison. Hold on, man. Why don't you drink or steal? You answer, I have better sense. I'm looking out for myself. You said it. You told on yourself. See how all your life centers around yourself, and to glorify God is not in your mind. True, you knew better than to burn up your vital organs with alcohol. You had better sense than to draw cancer-producing tobacco smoke into your lungs. You would count yourself rightly a fool to grovel in the gutter as a harlot or a whoremonger. And to steal is just a ticket to the jail. God gave you that good sense and you used it, but it was all for yourself and not to glorify God. Did you refuse that drink by saying, I will not drink liquor, for I must glorify God my Maker? You didn't say it. You didn't think it. God was not in your reckoning. Be honest, neighbor, and plead guilty. What does God think of such people? And what will he do with them? In his word, the Holy Bible, we are told, as two men are brought before God's court. Both were kings, but that didn't matter. No royal robes could they wear in God's court, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. No kingly crown sparkled on their heads before God's bar of justice. One lived in a heathen country and the other in a holy city, but both were equally responsible to glorify God. These two kings so provoked the living God that he smote them dead with his stroke. The one was Belshazzar and the other Herod. These kings differed in some things. One was drinking and the other sober. One was making a speech and the other at a banquet. But the cause of their sudden death was the same. They did not glorify God. Plainly it is written, the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And God, in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Then was the writing on the wall, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Now don't talk big and say, if it's that way, then God will have a world of people on his hands, for who does glorify God? Hold on, man. Remember, God has a hellfire big enough for a world of men, and he's able to put everyone into it, too. If every man and every angel defied him, God is great enough to handle any revolt. Let the fear of that Almighty God be upon you, for it is he who holds your breath in his hands. All things were made by him and for him. All were made to glorify God. The sun and the stars, the silver and the gold, the mountains and the oceans. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. They glorify God, but man only defies God, and in revolt refuses to glorify his Maker. God says, people, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. And yet man, God's masterpiece in his creation, man made in God's image and likeness, alone refuses the claims of his creator. God has built into every man the potential qualities that he might glorify God, but what has man done? He has dedicated his God-given talents to the service of sin. He has sold out to the devil. He has pawned them at the world's pawn shop, and they were not his, but God's, and loaned him to glorify God. What shall man do when God requires all this in his hand? Neighbor, don't be fooled by some smooth-tongued talker, even though he has a priest's garment on, or he stands behind a pulpit and tells you to try and do right, and that's all God expects of anyone. No priest, rabbi, or preacher has any authority to annul the claims of God your Maker. He who has given you life and breath and all things claims that in all your life and everything you do, you shall glorify God. This is the first duty of every man from Adam to you, and this is the standard by which all shall be judged. God laid down his holy requirements to Adam, telling him what he was to do and what not to do, and all because God said it. Then came the holy law of God, written with the finger of God. The Son of God told us that his first and great commandment was, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Then draws the New Testament day, dawns the New Testament day, and our Savior came. But this does not release man from his first duty to glorify God. Jesus Christ declared delivered his masterpiece, the Sermon on the Mount, and in it he shows us what God expects of man. Sinai's law is intensified as the Lord Jesus demanded that we glorify God even in our very thoughts, not just deeds, and we are to live as he taught us to pray, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In that sermon our Lord preached what he had lived in Nazareth. If any say there never was a man who glorified God in everything, I would correct your error. There was one man, a real man too, with a human spirit, soul, and body. For over 30 years he lived and worked with people of all kinds, doctors and carpenters, the religious and the profane, all kinds of men in all kinds of places, and in everything he did and every word he spoke, and even in all his inmost thoughts, he only and he always glorified God, so that he could look up to heaven into the face of God, calling him Holy Father, and say, I have glorified thee on the earth. And having done so in his life, he faced the greatest challenge in his death, the awful death of the cross, and in it he glorified God, doing all his will. We all stand condemned before his words, his holy life, his obedient death. And yet listen, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Man, you jumped at a straw and found it only a straw when you talked about your tempered life, but here is a real lifeline. Lay hold of it. This holy man, God's Son, came to save us, to save you. Lay hold of your Savior Christ Jesus the Lord, your only hope. Abandon that old derelict, yourself, and get into the lifeboat, the ark of salvation. Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. Here is the sum of this matter. Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The stroke of God that sent those two kings plunging into hell's tormenting flames, you deserved it, and I deserved it, for we too had not glorified God. But Christ suffered that blow at Calvary. What for? To give you a free pardon and release from judgment, for you to go on and live like you please? No. Let this hellish living generation know it. No. 1,000 times no. What for? To get a free ticket to heaven when you die, while you dance with the world while you live? No. I cry loudly in your sin-deafened ear, no. What for? For you to be a church member and to call yourself a Christian while you live like a devil and yet claim to be saved? No. Thou modern hypocrite, how shalt thou escape the damnation of hell? What for? Hearken. Christ hath once suffered for sins to bring us to God. And again, God's word says he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, to bring us to God, that come unto God. God, yes, to make you a child of God, to put within you the Spirit of God, to guide you with the word of God, so as to fully equip you to live a life for the glory of God. This was the purpose of Calvary. This is God's salvation in Christ. This is the true grace of God. It produces a life so lived for the glory of God, it reaches to the smallest daily details. Whether ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And also a will that is so addicted to the glory of God, it stops at no personal sacrifice, saying that Christ shall be glorified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Some may mock and go on in their selfish pride, but in my vast invisible audience, I know the Holy Spirit will find some honest soul who in all sincerity laments, but my life is far spent. What can I do now? It is not too late. Repent of your ungodly wasted life and turn to Christ to save you and to bring you back to God to live for his glory. Make a complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will make you a miracle of his grace. Self will be crucified and Christ will become your all in all, and the Holy Spirit of God will live in you, moving your heart and hands to live every day to glorify God as your first and greatest duty in life. Amen. And now, you young folks, listen to this old preacher. I was converted to God when but a lad, and by the grace of Christ, through scores of years have been lived, these scores of years have been lived in a measure for the glory of God. In heaven, I shall see more thousands than I can now measure of those saved and blessed through my life and ministry. Young folks, start today by turning to Christ and then live for the glory of God. And in eternity, you too shall see such a result to your life, you will cry, "What has God wrought?" As you remember that the first and greatest duty of man is to glorify God. Amen. And now, neighbor, I have solemn news for you. The Bible declares God is not mocked. If you with devilish pride declare, "Let God expect me to glorify him, but I'm not. I'm going to live as I please and for my own glory." If you refuse to be saved to the glory of God, you will be damned to the glory of God. God wants to be glorified in saving you, thus showing his grace to you and his transforming power in changing you. But if you refuse to repent and will not surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord, then God will be glorified in your everlasting punishment as it displays to all his absolute righteousness in judging all sin without respect to persons. Hear these words and see yourself, as you shall certainly be one day. Hearken. God hath highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This will be to the glory of God, as it proves that God is not mocked and no one can fight the living God and win. You shall one day in total defeat prostrate yourself before the glory of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and you shall acknowledge that he is indeed Lord of all. But then it'll be everlasting punishment in everlasting fire for you. Oh, my neighbor, junk your pride now, and in repentance call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you as you confess him as your Lord now. And tell him you want to live to glorify God. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.